All right. Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Christian Castain. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. I'm really excited. We got the podcast up on Google Play finally after much, much hard work. That's all due to you, buddy.
Yep, it took us several months, but we finally did it. Finally, we're on all platforms.
We're climbing the mountain slowly yet steadily to being a truly amateur, irrelevant podcast that our mother site just doesn't know exists. Would you say that's fair to say? I'd say that as an entity, we're fairly non-existent to the rest of the people we work with.
I was to about half of them, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a, yeah. The only very few people know about, but maybe that's a little bit there adds a little bit of charm. You gotta be asked into the secret society. But
It's not necessarily a bad thing.
yeah, you never know. We're thinking about we'll let the listeners in a little, little behind the scenes, open the kimono a little bit, and just tell the listeners we're planning on doing this well into the off season, probably not three shows a week, but about a show a week, probably up to the draft, or a show every other week up to the draft. And then in between, we might branch out, do some NBA stuff. Maybe if I can find someone that can talk hockey with me, maybe we'll do a little bit of NHL stuff. We'll leave the baseball stuff to our baseball people, the Grand Slam podcast, check them out. But
Yep.
tomorrow, you are going to do a college football podcast with us. So the End Zone podcast is not technically just a football podcast. It is an all medium podcast.
Yep. Well, mate, we're football, but of course we'll talk about some basketball and get into some other sports. But mate, we're mainly football still. We're not
Well,
the tuners.
during the football season. Well,
Yes.
during the off season, we're everything. We're
Yep.
everything. But for right now, we're football, so let's talk football. Let's get into it. We're midway through the season, and so we wrote some power rankings, you and I did. I posted mine up on the site, prosportsfandom.com. I'll leave a link in the description of this episode. Go check that out. But you made some as well, and I thought it would be fun just to go through kind of by groups of five, kind of both of ours, to see who had what team where.
Yep, we'll talk through our differences and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. All right. So here it is. I got the pieces of paper in front of me. Hopefully you can hear the crinkling. But our first five, and I'm just kind of our last five, and I'm just kind of averaging these out, are Cleveland at 32, San Francisco at 31, Tampa at 30, Arizona at 29, Indy at 28, and Miami at 27. Not a whole lot of differences. You have Miami out of your bottom five.
Barely, yes.
Instead, you have
Well, I'll go ahead and tell you. I have Cleveland at 32, San Francisco at 31. Even though I think, well, we'll talk about that in a second. 30, I have Tampa Bay. At 29, I have Indianapolis. At 28, I have Arizona. And then at 27, I have the Giants. And I have the Miami Dolphins outside looking in.
Yeah, I can see why you like the Dolphins, but I mean, I think where I have them is accurate, especially as of right now because of the Ajayi trade. I look at that team and I know that you're really in love with them, but I hate to break it to you, they have no talent on that roster. Like, I know you don't think it's a possibility that they can lose out, but I don't see how they're going to win any other games with the talent poor roster they have.
Well, I see Jay Cutler's not gonna, I don't see He's not the worst quarterback in the league, and they do have talent. They have
starting though. It's Matt Moore.
He's not. He's going to come back. He's not out the rest of the season. But at the wide receiver position, they do have Jarvis Landry. I did not expect them to lose Jay Ajayi. I really didn't. And that does factor into our bet, sadly. It's looking like you're looking pretty good in that bet right now. Even though I'm not too high on the Chargers either, but I think you might squeeze that bet out.
All the Chargers really need to do is win 4 games, and I think they can win 4 games.
And I have Arizona and Indianapolis switched up. The only reason I have them switched up is because I think Adrian Peterson does make the Arizona Cardinals a little better than the Indianapolis Colts, even though the Cardinals lost Carson Palmer. And it looks like they lost it for the season, but I still think they're going to squeeze out more wins than the Indianapolis Colts, and I do think they make them a little bit better.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from there. I like Indianapolis more, of course, because I like Jacoby Brissett. I think that Frank Gore is probably a better running back at this stage of his career than Adrian Peterson is. I don't know if you disagree with me there, but I feel like Frank Gore and Marlon Mack are a better backfield than Adrian Peterson and Kerwin Williams currently.
I feel like the overall backfield's better in Indianapolis, but something about Adrian Peterson, and it makes me, I could be wrong, and between this one, it was very, very close, and you could argue, but in the defense for me in Arizona, that was another part. I think the Cardinals defense is not much better than the Indianapolis Colts, but it's a little better.
A team down here that I don't think really anyone expected to be this low midseason, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh no.
What has gone wrong with them this year? Like, what is the problem in Tampa, in your opinion?
The defense is awful. I don't think it's the coaching staff. I don't think it's Mike Smith, the defensive coordinator. I think it's just they're banged up right now. And offensively, they can't get it together. I don't know what's going on, but it just, for some reason, they cannot get it together. Jameis Winston just hasn't been the same Jameis Winston we saw last season. And it just it looks like a mess right now in that franchise. And most of it could be put on the, as far as the offensive mess, it could be put on the coaching staff. I heard a comment in the offseason that I can't remember the reporter or the person's name, but they said that the coaching staff seemed a bit kiddish. And it seems like they were onto something. I don't necessarily agree with the kiddish part, but they may be onto something.
Yeah, especially in Hard Knocks. Like, I watched Hard Knocks this season, and they came in and they said, we're supposed to be good this year. And I think that's always dangerous if you're a team and you come in thinking that you're entitled to be at the top of your division and great. I think they had a lot of pressure on them this year. It would not surprise me at all if next year – I wouldn't make any moves this offseason personally as far as firing a coaching staff. I think you keep them. I think this year's kind of a wake-up call. And then I think next year they'll probably be what we expected them to be this year. It always seems like, I don't know if you think the same way, but it always seems like the teams that get a lot of hype coming into a year, they always do better the year after. Like last off season, the Jaguars were getting a lot of hype and they really disappointed. And this year, people kind of were like, oh, they're super disappointing. And now they're kind of one of the more interesting teams to watch.
Yes, the borderline teams. The teams that the year before were looking at almost, or some of them did maybe make the playoffs, wild card. Most of them, like Tampa Bay, 9-7, you didn't make it. And as you see, the New York Giants and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just fell off the radar completely. So it is a trend, but for me, Tampa Bay just I think they're in a better position than the Giants are, because the Giants are a complete mess.
Yeah, the Giants are a mess. I don't think I'd have them in my bottom six, though, because they have found Orleans Darkwa. He's an okay running back to have in the backfield. Whereas they went from zero running game and zero ability with the offense, their offense has looked better without their top three receivers. And I don't know, that win in Denver, even though it might have been a fluke, and they still played very well against Seattle the week afterward. And
I think that win wasn't a fluke.
I don't know. I don't. They're certainly not a playoff team, but I think you have them just a spot too low. Because moving on to our next, a quick thing on the Browns, for our last team. And for me on the site, I divided the teams into segments, and would you like to hear what segment what my bottom three segments are?
What's that?
Well,
the
first one, teams 27 through 29 are teams disappointing their fathers. Team 30, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is never mind. Teams disappointing their fathers is next. That's what they call a tease in the business. Meh teams with meh expectations that are meh are 27 through 29. So Miami, Indy, and Arizona, totally and completely disowned by their parental figures after colossal failure that damages family name. That is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And how haven't you won a game yet goes to the San Francisco 49ers, and the Browns are simply the Browns at the bottom. A hopeless pit of despair with no sign of the long-spoken covenant of mediocrity. All is lost. Abort the mission. Sail into the night. Embrace the tears of a fallen. Row, row forward. Fight the Ohio wind and battle to the never-coming morning. You are the storm you are fighting so desperately against.
I disagree with your 27 to 29. I think, yeah, I'm going to extend that between 16 and 26. All those teams are disappointing so far.
No. Let's move on. But anyways, yeah, the Browns are doing the most Browns things possible. And I really think my last phrase, you are the storm you are so desperately fighting against. They can't get out of their own way. They almost traded for A.J. McCarron. The Bengals got their paperwork done and sent in before the trade deadline. And you had the trade in place. You won this great trade, and you couldn't even get the paperwork through. And now
know if they won it.
I think A.J. McCarron is far and above – would have been far and above the best quarterback they had on that roster if he was to go there.
Who do you pick, Jimmy Garoppolo or A.J. McCarron?
Well, Jimmy Garoppolo for certain, but what I'm saying is of the people in that quarterback room between Kaiser, Kessler, and Hogan, I think A.J. McCarron is an entire tier above all of them. And I don't know, but you get Josh Gordon back, I guess. But, I mean, you know.
They're not competitive.
They're not competitive, and they aren't going to be. And they might go 0-16, which would be depressing.
I don't know. This team seems all-time awful. It really does.
Moving on to the next five, which these are the five teams that I said teams disappointing their fathers. Those teams are the Giants at 26, the Raiders at 25, the Ravens at 24, the Titans at 23, the Giants 26, the Raiders at 25, the Ravens at 24, and the Titans at 23. Those are the ones I said were, quote, disappointing their fathers. Would you say that's a good assessment of those four teams right there. I think that our expectations were so high and they completely let us down.
Some of these teams, not all of them, I wouldn't say that. But for me, I think that extends into the teens, our rankings into like 17, 16, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Yeah, I think that's fair for most of these teams, but for me, I had it a little differently than you. I had Miami at 26, Oakland at 25, Chicago at 24, Baltimore at 23, Denver at 22, and then Tennessee at 21.
See, I think you have Chicago a little bit too low. I had Chicago at 22. I think that their defense is dominant, and I think their running game. I think with their running game and their defense, they're almost like Jacksonville in the fact that they can just keep the ball out of the QB's hands and almost win games with their defense, but they can't play from behind. Like that game against the Saints, they should have won that game. The Zach Miller catch should have been a touchdown. By the way, we are so happy to hear that Zach Miller is doing well. They were able to complete successful surgery. They were worried for a little while that they might have to amputate the leg, but thank goodness that didn't happen. So hopefully he can get back to everyday life. But it sounds for right now that Zach Miller's football career is over pretty much.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
But I feel like the Bears are better than you give them credit for.
I don't think they would win on a mutual field between the teams that I put ahead of them. Maybe Baltimore. Baltimore's the exception. The Baltimore Ravens are so inconsistent that I think they
beat Baltimore.
Yeah, I can't tell you the way they're going to play from week to week. they might put up a game they played like against Miami.
I think they beat Tennessee too.
I don't think so. I think Tennessee's line is just going to be too much for Chicago. And Denver, that's another thing that I debated.
Let's save Denver for a little later because I have Denver a little bit higher. And there's so much to talk about with Denver. So in that category looks good. So we stopped at 21. I messed up and I didn't read. So we'll go from, at this point, 20 to 15. So for me, 20 to 15 is the Broncos at 20, the Lions at 19, the Packers at 18, the Bengals at 17, and the Falcons at 16, and San Diego at 15.
For me, it was the Jets at 20, the Chargers at 19, Green Bay at 18, Detroit at 17, Cincinnati at 16, and then at 15 I had Washington. Several disagreements there. I think we both have the Chargers. I shouldn't do this, but that they didn't look good last week.
No, I agree.
I guess the defense is not—it's not good. I don't care what
the Falcons. I think the Patriots' defense is improving. I will say that they certainly aren't a top 10 defense, but whereas they were one of the worst five in the league, I say they've probably moved up into the between 15 and 20 range. Ranks for team defense.
They've been good the
last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'd say don't let that Atlanta game fool you because it can fool you very quickly. Atlanta's offense just hasn't looked the same.
Atlanta was able to put up yards on the Patriots defense. Basically, looks like the Patriots defense always does now, which is they give up a lot of yards, but in the red zone they crack down and they don't let you score touchdowns.
Yeah. And then another one, the Jets. I had the Jets ahead of the Denver Broncos. I think they're a little more sound offensively than the Denver Broncos because the quarterback situation has been more consistent this season. Trevor Siemian has just played terribly the past two or three weeks. Ever since the Giants game, he's played terribly. There's no getting around that. And then at Let's see it. I had Green Bay was hard. Green Bay is the hardest to rank, in my opinion.
I agree. Because you have to factor in that one of these weeks, they did have Aaron Rodgers, and he was playing very well. But then we've only seen, because the Packers had a bye, we've only seen 1 week of Brett Hundley. So we don't really know what to expect out of him. So, yeah, I agree. But I think we both have Green Bay at the same spot.
It's just where do you consider Aaron Rodgers' injury, or if you don't consider it, then you have to put them higher, in my opinion, because they've only been without him one game this season, one and a half technically, because of the week he got injured, he was out at halftime. But it's just tough because they were on a bye. If that's say 2 weeks, then I could rank them a little easier because I'd seen more from Brett Hundley than I have.
Yeah, I think you could have put them. I think as far as power rankings go right now, I think for me their ceiling probably would have been like 14.
I agree. And their
floor would have been like 20. But I don't think I'd feel comfortable if I put them lower than 20.
I agree. At this point.
The Denver Broncos, though, that's an interesting point. I think the Broncos, just defense-wise, I think the Broncos would beat the Jets. I think that the Jets have a hard time closing out games. But then again, so do the Broncos. So
well,
I can see your reasoning, but I think the Broncos are better than the Jets. And
not if Simeon's got three picks in a game, or two picks, or and two fumbles.
That's probably correct. I went back and watched the Monday Night Football game. I thought it was the rest of a team, but yeah, I mean, he's just played awful. And I love Trevor. Like, Trevor Siemian probably is one of my favorite Broncos, like right underneath Peyton Manning, which is insane to say because Peyton Manning is my favorite player ever. But it sucks that he started the season so well, and then I really think he injured that left shoulder in the Giants game, and I really think that's affecting him. But he's been benched for Brock Osweiler, and I have thoughts and feelings on that. What do you think about that?
It's tough because I think Brock Osweiler's not going to be – he's going to come in and do basically the same thing. I don't think he's going to be much better. He might be a little better. They're not going to win football games with Brock Osweiler. They're just not. He is not that kind of quarterback. He is Houston.
He's less than a game manager. He got cut by the Cleveland Browns. He couldn't compete with the quarterback situation they have there now. I don't know.
Which tells you that he doesn't belong in Denver. I think the right thing – well, they're waiting on Paxton Lynch to get
– yeah, Paxton Lynch – the unfortunate thing about Paxton Lynch, they said, is he's only practiced like three times this year, and he's just getting off injured reserve. I think what they're going to do is they're going to – and this is just my take – I think they're going to give Brock Osweiler the two hardest games on the schedule. I think they're going to give him the Eagles and the Patriots. And then I think they're going to turn it over to Paxton Lynch.
I want to pull up their schedule because I do have a feeling, and you're not going to agree. But for me, as far as back to the quarterback situation, I'm not seeing I'm not seeing a bright future this year.
For me, the next three games are the Eagles, the Patriots, and then they play at home against the Bengals. I feel like they're going to give Osweiler the start against the Eagles. They'll give Osweiler the start against the Patriots. And if Osweiler isn't playing well by then, I think Paxton Lynch will have enough time under his belt that the or if they lose, basically to stay in the playoff hunt, which I think they're kind of out now anyways, but to stay in the playoff
Oh,
hunt, they
yeah.
basically have to win both those games. So as soon as Brock Osweiler loses a game, which I think is going to happen this week, I don't think they'd throw Paxton Lynch in prime time against New England. I think they'll give him a week more, and I think Paxton Lynch will start from the Bengals on. I'm really curious. What's the opinion you say I'll disagree with?
I'm looking at their schedule. I think they're going to go 2-6, to be honest, over the rest of the season. It looks like it. The only wins I see is maybe the Jets, and I think they could beat the Washington team. The Dolphins, maybe.
I feel like the wins that I'd lock up are the only sure thing, quote, sure thing wins are the Dolphins and the Colts.
That's not a sure thing win because
I think Denver can beat the Dolphins. The Dolphins don't have an offense, and the Denver defense can force enough turnovers to win the game.
Go ahead.
You got to remember that this team's bad, but they're not bad, if that makes sense. Like, they're a bad offensive team, but if they just had a manageable quarterback, the defense is still a top five NFL defense. Do you agree with me there, or am I still living in the past? Because I think the defense has looked just as good, if not better, than last year.
Yeah, I think they're still top 10 defense, but I don't think their defense can make up for how bad their offense is. But I was going to go back to my point. For me, the ceiling, the absolute ceiling, is 5-3 over the next 8 games. And I don't think that's going to happen. It seems I could see 4-4. 4-4 seems fair to me. What do you think?
Well, let me just go through. I think at Eagles is a loss. The Patriots at home, I want to say that's a loss, but –
Yeah, that
Tom Brady. I feel like that's a trap game for the Patriots. And the Patriots don't have many trap games, but Tom Brady never plays well in Denver.
Safe bets, Patriots.
Never plays well against the Broncos. So I'll say loss, but it wouldn't shock me if the Broncos beat the Patriots.
The Patriots are the safe bet. They are.
What?
The Patriots are the safe bet in this game.
Yeah, they are, and I'll take that. But I could see the Broncos winning it. Like, I'd say there's a 50-50 chance. The odds are not tilted in the Patriots' favor. It's 50-50.
All in the Denver.
Right. I think the Bengals depends on if they're – the Bengals are one of these teams where if they come in hot – we're going to lose, but if they come in off a loss, we'll take care of them.
For me, it looks like a win right now. I'm going to say it's a win right now.
I'm going to say it's a loss. I think the Raiders, I think you're putting too much credit into the Raiders. I think they've looked worse than the Broncos. I'd take the Broncos over the Raiders in Oakland. I'd take the Broncos over the Dolphins in Miami. I'd
of take course.
The Broncos, Jets. I could see the Jets winning that game, but I'm going to take the Broncos. The Colts, I think the Broncos have that game.
Yes.
And I think Washington can beat them, most definitely, especially if they get healthy. They're injured right now, but that's in week 16. So I think that they'll get it figured out. The Broncos, the Redskins will by then, and I think they'll get the win there. And then the Chiefs in Denver, that's the last day of the season. You never know what happens. Remember last year, Oakland lost in the last day of the season. Granted, they didn't have Derek Carr, but you never know. That's a toss-up game, but right now, the Chiefs, obviously. So I see...
For me, that game depends on if the Chiefs have the division and or the conference locked up. If they don't, and it's close between them and the Patriots, then I'm definitely taking the Chiefs. If it's not, then I'm taking the Broncos.
I see, which would put them at 7-9. But honestly, just from a fan perspective, I'm pretty depressed about this team and kind of done with I don't know. Not done with them is the wrong word, because I'm a good fan. I'll of course watch them every Sunday, but it's terrible to watch. And I think that you can't go either really shock people and squeak into the playoffs or tank. That's what I want. I don't want to end up with a 7-9 record and then have a top 15 draft pick. I want to be in the playoffs, or I want to have a 10, or I want to have a top 10 draft pick. That's
That's
what I
not,
want
but that's not
personally.
gonna happen. That's not gonna happen with Denver. They're gonna compete for the rest of the season. They're probably gonna go 500. They'll probably finish 7-9, maybe 6-10, or 8-8.
7-9 to 9-7 is the worst possible scenario for the Broncos, in my opinion.
But it seems most likely.
Yep, it is the most likely. Moving on from 20 to 15, well, 19 to 15, really. I have Detroit at 19, Green Bay at 18. Oh, wait, sorry.
We've already
14 to 10. I have Carolina at 14, 13 Washington, 12 Dallas, 11 Houston, 10 Jacksonville, and I'll start with Carolina. I think they'd have to move way down for me because they traded away Kelvin Benjamin. I get it, he wasn't playing great,
So
but he's.
you read mine off?
What? Oh, no, I haven't, sorry.
Oh, okay. I'll go ahead and read mine off. For me, at 14, I have Carolina. At 13, I have Atlanta. At 11, I have Houston. At 12, I have Houston, excuse me. At 11, I have Dallas. And at 10, I have Jacksonville. And I think they're probably, if I were to put any of these in the top 10, it would be Jacksonville.
But yeah, Kelvin Benjamin to the Bills. We'll talk about the Bills more later, but I don't know. Carolina, if you look at the offense, other than Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey, they don't really have anyone. And Christian McCaffrey's only a good pass catcher. He hasn't figured out how to run the ball for some reason. So
Oh yeah, this offense is mediocre for the remainder of the season. I mean, I expect that Cam Newton's going to be mediocre and
I wrote these Monday night. If I had to republish them today, I think I'd probably drop Carolina down to 16 or 17. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think that Atlanta's going to win this week and we'll be done with the Panthers, which I'm fine with because they've kind of been annoying this year. They got really good for like 2 weeks and then they just stopped playing football.
Yeah, for me, Carolina, I wouldn't re-rank right now just because they did have that stretch of good play. I wouldn't put them under 15 right now. Of course, if we did a power rankings in week 12, I think Carolina's gonna fall in that rankings. Probably, I think they could fall as far as 20. I was thinking like 18, but right now I think 14, between 14 and 15 is a good spot for Carolina. They look average because they look meh because they're defensively they're not as good as advertised on defense. Their secondary is not good. You can't convince me that it's good because they're playing two rookies at cornerback. I can't convince myself into them being above average, but I can't convince myself them being below average either, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're a team that exists in the NFL right now.
Another team we had disagreements on is Atlanta.
Yeah, you have Atlanta way lower than I do, which is
Higher.
way higher than I do, which is a little bit strange to me because I feel like you've been more negative about Atlanta than I have. I have Atlanta at 16, you have them at 13. Why is that? I think it's around the same realm. I wouldn't say it's a super huge difference, but I mean
Because
I don't know why.
they would beat Carolina on the neutral field. They would beat Washington on the neutral field at this point in this time. Washington's banged up. I have them like that's the reason I have them ahead of Washington and Carolina. Like, and it's the same reason I just told you. Their offense is mediocre at best. And then their defense, yeah, their secondary is not very good. I see this game this week, Sunday, which we'll talk about more on Friday. I see Atlanta putting up some big passing yards this weekend. That's really why I have in the Cincinnati. I don't think I need to explain that one. I think record-wise alone explains why I have Atlanta ahead of Cincinnati.
Yeah, another team that we don't. We're pretty similar in this one. I think you have Houston a little bit lower than I do. You have Dallas over Houston, but only by one spot, and I can see why you would think that. So moving on, from 9 to 6, for me, I have the Los Angeles Rams. At 8, I have the Buffalo Bills. At 7, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And at 6, the New Orleans Saints.
We have kind of similar, but there's a few changes that you have or that I don't. At 9, I have the Rams. At 8, I have Pittsburgh. At 7, I have New Orleans. And at 6, I have Buffalo.
Yeah, to be fair, you wrote these just barely. I wrote mine a few days back. But adding Kelvin Benjamin, like, Buffalo needed a big wide receiver, and they got it. I don't know if they can challenge the Patriots for the AFC East, but I think they can keep it close, and I think they can beat the Patriots at home. Not go into Foxborough, but I mean, when the Patriots come to Buffalo, I'm picking the Bills. I think the Bills are a very good team, and I agree with where you have them.
For me, Buffalo, I see them going 1-1 against New England. And
that's all they really need to get into the playoffs. I think of all the surprise teams, they are the funnest story to have. I'm really excited. I really hope they make the playoffs.
Which is why I am kind of wondering on if they'll make. I don't know if they'll actually make the playoffs. It just seems like every year there's something happens and they don't make the playoffs. They have the longest tenure without making the playoffs. But for me, right now, at this point in time, I feel like they're a 10-win team. I feel like New England's going to be a couple of games ahead of that. I see 12 wins. Just New England looks. New England doesn't look like New England right now, but by the end of the season, I'm sure they're going to be the same team we always see. There's no point in making it seem like there's no point in looking at it otherwise because it happens every season.
Yeah, the Bills have a rough next 4 games, and to really be taken seriously, I think they need to go 2-2. But the next 4 weeks, they play the Saints, the Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Patriots. That's a recipe for a potential 0-4.
But I see 2-2. They played good enough.
Even though I like the Chargers, I could see them beating the Chargers. I think Buffalo is a very tough place to play. I don't think we give it enough credit for home field advantage.
Oh no, we don't.
I think that I would not be shocked if this week, even though we give this upcoming week a lot of crap for having bad games, the Saints and the Bills is a fun game this week, and I would not be shocked at all if. Oh, never mind. That is next week the Saints and the Bills play. Because
all these games are bad this week.
Bills have a bye week this week. But I think the Bills could beat the Saints at home. I think they could beat the Chargers on the road. The Chiefs is the one where I see them losing. I don't know. They could go 3-1. If they went 3-1, I think you'd have to consider them a playoff team. I'm ready to say that they're fun to watch and a true playoff contender right now, but
yeah, because if they go 3-1, they'll be 8-3. I mean,
yeah,
they're going to the playoffs at that rate, in my opinion. I think it'd be too late. I think all they need to do is win 2 more games.
Yeah, and then after that stretch, their schedule gets like insanely easy. Colts, the Dolphins. I know you like the Dolphins, but I think the Bills would run all over the Dolphins.
That's later in the season, so we'll see.
At the Patriots, of course, that's their toughest game. And the Dolphins in Miami. I think they can win three of those games too. As long as you split with the Patriots and beat the Saints and Chargers, I think you're a lock to make the playoffs.
I agree. Locks is going to be hard with Buffalo, right. But in this case, I would say that they're 90% chance that they're going to the playoffs if they do what you just said.
They're in excellent position.
Yes.
You have Pittsburgh a little bit lower than me, but not by much. New Orleans, not a huge disparity. We feel differently about their defense. But moving on to our top five, for me, five is Kansas City. For you, five is Minnesota. For me, four is Minnesota. For you, four is Kansas City. For me, three is Seattle. For you, three is New England. For you, two is Seattle. For me, two is New England. And for you, and we both have Philadelphia atop our power rankings. I have an interesting question for you. Why did you put Seattle over New England?
The trade this weekend did have some involvement in that. Actually, had a major involvement because I think their offensive line is going to be – may not be better, but I think Russell Wilson's going to make that work, offensive line work. And the difference between New England and Seattle was so close to me that I went ahead and bumped Seattle ahead of New England purely off – their offensive line improvement. That you're going to notice that offensive line improve. It's going to be a major improvement, and that's what made me put Seattle ahead of New England. And they have the same record, same general idea between both teams.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle for me is now a much must-watch week in and week out, pretty much until the Super Bowl. I think those two teams, that was my Super Bowl pick before the season, and I was getting pretty worried going into like week five, but now I think Seattle, and I'm reaffirming it here at the midway point, I think Seattle and New England are on a collision course to play in the Super Bowl.
I think
Philly's good, but I think, I don't know. I don't think they have the playoff. They don't have the playoff experience to back it up.
It's going to be Seattle will win the Super Bowl. It's going to happen.
So that's your pick. That's an interesting thing to look at. You had Atlanta over New England. So what's your new pick?
I have Seattle over New England. I think Tom Brady's going to win the MVP, and as we know. And this is part of the reason, not really. I mean, I think Seattle's going to be the better team overall. I think they have, with the offensive line improvement, I think it looks like, for me, I think Seattle's the better team in general. But we know MVPs that are on teams that go to the Super Bowls, they don't win the Super Bowl. That hasn't happened in 20 years. I don't expect it to happen now.
It is Tom Brady.
And actually, and odds
have to take that into effect.
Also, odds are already against them because they won last year in the Super Bowl. That doesn't happen either. Two repeats, that hasn't happened.
But it's Tom Brady.
I still don't see. I just see Seattle over New England in the Super Bowl.
I don't know. I don't.
Who do you have?
I don't
Who
think
do you have?
I have the same thing, but I don't think we can brush off New England that easily because they're New England. Everyone says, oh, they aren't going to do this, but then they go ahead. Oh, Tom Brady's not going to win his fifth Super Bowl. Oh, wait, he did. Oh, Tom Brady's not going to play until 45.
I have different reasons.
Yeah, well, it's good. Philadelphia number one, they add Jay Ajayi. I'm interested to see how the trade go because Ajayi wasn't doing very well in Miami this year. And apparently Miami had major concerns with him. They didn't think that he had anything left in his knees. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with
what's
that.
The offensive line in Miami look like, too? That's, for me, that's the difference.
Yeah, they have the worst run blocking in the league to the NFL's stats.
Yeah, this I think he'll be better in Philadelphia, and I don't even think it'll be the version that we see between Philadelphia and Miami will be far between what we saw in Miami. It's just going to – there's going to be a huge difference, I have a feeling.
Well, that's it. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening. You can check us out really on every platform. Go ahead. Yep. And subscribe. We haven't asked this yet, but now that we're up, go ahead and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. We will tweet out now that because we both have Android devices, we will share out the links via our favorite. For me, there's a great app called Castbox. Go ahead and download that. I'll tweet out the link from there. And you can go right there and listen. We'll, of course, keep tweeting out the direct Podbean link if you want to go listen to the great stuff they have at Podbean, our direct podcast RSS feed.
You can just go to Google Music and type in.
Google Music, iTunes, the same thing. One thing that you should remember, EndZone Podcast, it's one word, no spaces. EndZone Podcast all together. I don't know why that is. We'll work on fixing that in our original RSS feed, which is our Podbean. But for right now, just type in EndZone Podcast all in one line. Go check us out. Go subscribe. Go listen. Go tell your friends. And maybe around Christmas time, we'll do another giveaway. We did a gift card giveaway a little while back, and maybe we'll do another kind of prize type giveaway around the holiday season. We don't know yet, but maybe we'll
let you know.
Go ahead and follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. Follow Chris on Twitter at ChrisPSF, me at Eric18Utah. And we'll see you Friday. Chris, I'll let you sign us out.
Peace, I guess. What do you normally say?